Blog Talk Radio.
Samuel Jackson was in WLOV radio booth, and he had made this quote. He said, "I've seen what I don't believe, and I don't believe what I've just seen. We all hurting. We all tripping. But before I let loose and spew my opinion, I want to hear you all's opinion. And we're going to deal with that because this is a special show. I normally don't do shows on Sundays. So we're going to do this show today so we all can vent. But what I'm going to do is play a little skit, a little excerpt from a movie of mine, because the Trayvon Martin movie kind of reminded me of this little, excuse me, the Trayvon Martin trial kind of reminded me of this movie. Excuse me, what's that? Thank you, Emily. The George Zimmerman trial kind of reminded me of a movie. And the movie was Cornbread, Earl, and Me. Now, let me go in there and play you a little excerpt from that, and then we're going to go on ahead and talk about it. And then I want y'all to hear the similarities. Now, I'm going to take it from when Larry Fishburne, was on the stage talking about the assassination of his friend, his cousin, his mentor, Cornbread. Take it from there, y'all. You know, then y'all let me know what's up. How y'all feeling, rather? And it's a play, Ebony. Ready? You ready, Ebony? Ready, Ebony?
Hamilton.
Yes, sir. I knew Cornbread all my life, ever since I was a real little guy.
And on the date in question, did you see this occurrence?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Where were you?
Inside a store.
Which store?
Mr. Fred's store.
All right, Wilford. Now, you go ahead in your own words and you tell us what you know.
Right.
Would you start at the beginning and tell us everything you know?
Well, it all started when me and Earl was watching Cornbread and the other big guys play basketball. And it started to rain. And then we all ran down to Mr. Fred's store. Mr. Fred, he was mad at having all those kids in his store. So he began yelling. Pretty soon it was just Cornbread, me, and Earl. And then Cornbread brought us each a pop. And, you know, he was always good to us. And he bought one for himself. And then One Eye came in.
Beg your pardon, did you say One Eye?
Yes, sir. Everybody out there knows One Eye.
I see. Go on, son.
Mm-hmm. Then Cornbread said that he had to get moving.
Yeah.
You want to so he bought another pop for himself to drink at home.
Huh.
And then we said that he ought to wait until it stopped raining. But he said no, that he had to get on home. Then, me and Earl, we got to arguing. We's always arguing as to how fast Cornbread could run home. And I said, maybe 10 seconds. And Cornbread laughed and said, no, about 45 seconds. And then we made sort of a bet. Then me and Earl and Mr. Fred and One Eye went out into the awning with Cornbread. Cornbread took off with his basketball under one arm and his orange pop in the other hand. Boy, you should have seen how he ran. Cornbread ran. Didn't even look like he was moving. He could sure run. And boy, was he moving. And then me and Earl, he gets to counting. My Cornbread's running, you know. And a one, and a two. And Cornbread's pumping away, and it's raining, and Cornbread's racing down the block. And then those two cops, they run into the street. It looks like they yelled something, but I couldn't tell what it was because there was that garbage truck grinding away. Anyhow, those two guys, they had out their guns and they shoot. And they shoot cornbread. Then he was dead. They killed Cornbread and he wasn't doing nothing. All he was doing was he was just going home.
I don't know who's lying. But somebody is.
Kid's gonna be lying.
Counsel, do you have any questions?
Just one? Do you know anything about Cornbread belonging to a gang?
No, sir. He didn't belong to no gang. Didn't have to. Besides, he was always playing basketball. Sometimes at night, when it was quiet, I could hear the bamming and bamming that basketball right up against that backboard. And I knew it was Cornbread. Because it couldn't be nobody else. Yep. And that bam, bam, bam would put me right to sleep. No, sir. They didn't belong in no gangs. Not Cornbread.
It took a lot of courage for you to come here this afternoon. I'm proud of you, son. Thank you.
Peace, quiet, and good order will be maintained in our city to the best of our ability. Riots, melees, and disturbances of the peace are against the interest of all our people and therefore cannot be permitted.
The jury found that they were all not guilty, not guilty, not guilty,
we've been
not
told
guilty,
all
not
along
guilty.
White, black, I was raised to be equal to anyone. Listening to you, you are so precious. I just can't believe it. I am shocked. You're staring at me.
What is he saying that you have a problem with? What is he saying that you have a problem with?
What scares us is I think we hear violence.
Thank you. You don't know what the fuck it is you talking about.
I'm so scared to go out in the world next year because I was never a prejudiced person until I'm listening to you. It's really scary hearing what you're saying. I'm very scared.
What is he saying that you have a problem with? What is he saying that you have a problem with?
What scares us is I think we hear violence.
Thank you. You don't know what the fuck it is you're talking about.
That same question about fearing, or white people fearing, you know, what will the black folks do and stuff. We should be running down the street screaming, ramping, and raving because when you look at the statistics, who is the one dying? From the policemen, from the KKK, from the skinheads.
What scares us is I think we hear violence.
What is he saying that you have a problem with? And why is it when a black man stands up to speak for his people and other people stand up to speak for their people, there's no problem with it? But you're saying he said black, he said Jew. When people talk, they talk like that. But why is it when a black man stands up to speak for his people, you feel so threatened, everybody's paranoid? And you talk about it's not segregation. We live in Harlem, we live in Watts, we live in Bedford-Stuyvesant. That's a form of segregation. We walk through Bensonhurst, we get killed. So what are you talking about?
Peace, quiet, and good order will be maintained in our city to the best of our ability. Riots, melees, and disturbances of the peace are against the interest of all our people and therefore cannot be permitted.
The jury found that they were all not guilty, not guilty, not guilty,
we've been
not
told
guilty,
it all
not
along
guilty,
all
not
all
guilty.
Against my hollow bones,
that rocks my soul. Oh, 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 oh. Looking back over my false dreams that I once knew, wondering why my dreams never came true. Is it because I'm black? Somebody tell me, what can I do? Oh, Lord. Oh, something is holding me back. Is it because I'm black? Yeah. In this world of no pity, I was raised. Mama, she worked so hard to earn every penny, yeah, yeah. Oh, Lord. Something is holding me back. Is it because I'm black? Because I'm black. Oh, somebody tell me, what can I do? Will I survive or will I die? Right on, brother. Dig this. that they're doing us like that. You know what? It is. I believe it's because we're black. But hey, we can't stop now. We can't stop now. Got to keep on, keep on, keep on, keeping on. We got to keep on, keeping on. I know and I know and I know that you know that I know it ain't right. Oh, it ain't right. It ain't right. It ain't right. That they hold us, hold us, hold us back. They're holding us back. They're holding us back. I wonder. Sometimes I sit down.
Three four seven eight three eight nine eight two five. Like I said, this was a special show. A lot of people called in, my producer, screaming we had to have a show. We got to tell the people what's going on. So I felt that we need to go ahead and express ourselves and see what the people are talking about and what the people are on. Let me go ahead and bring this caller in right here from the Southwest Side. This is Nikki, bring her in. I see Cleveland's calling also. What's going on, Nikki? How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm calling about this. Well, the show's about the Trayvon Martin verdict.
Yeah.
What's your take?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but we're calling about the Trayvon Martin. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you well.
We're calling about the Trayvon Martin, talk about Trayvon Martin verdict. Excuse me, the George Zimmerman verdict, because it's funny that Trayvon Martin, a dead man, was on trial for his own murder. But, and everybody saying Trayvon Martin murder, but the George Zimmerman trial, what's your take on the verdict?
I feel like it was unfair, very unfair, you know, and I feel like that color plays a big part in it, you know. Black people need to come together and love one another. It's already enough hate, jealousy against us by racist people. And if we could come together and stand as one and stop hating each other, we would not be falling. You know, it's I think it was unfair because George Zimmerman, pursued him as if he was the Florida police, and he wasn't. And there was no right for him to do that. He made the call. All he had to do was just wait and see. But steady saying, they always get away. What you mean they always get away? I don't, you
right.
know, it was wrong, you know, and it was racist. It really was, you know, and it's just so much going on there in Florida, you know. The laws are different. They has to be, you know, the laws and statute has to be different there, because I believe if it was other places, that wouldn't have took place. I think that was just so wrong and so unfair and unjust. Justice was not served.
I hear you. Let me see what another caller has on, Nikki. Feel free to jump in. Your mic is not off. Let me see what my man Sean has to say in Cleveland.
Hey, what's
up, Sean? What's going on, man?
Man, I'm not feeling good, man. Oh, man, that whole trial was a sham, man. It was, the prosecution touched on things. You thought they was going to go deep, and they just stepped off of things they could even touched on. And a lot of stuff they just left, not even discussed, like the safety on the gun. It's supposed to be on, you know, things. They never even tried to go in depth, man. It was a sham, man. And it make you feel like, as a black man, you feel almost like paranoia. I mean, you don't know if a white, you don't know if you're going to get shot by some paranoid white person. You know, you know how sneaky they are. They don't like you. They'll do some sneaky stuff.
That was the weakest closing argument I have ever seen.
Oh my goodness.
They was going to bring it. I expected more.
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
it's not about race.
I honestly thought they did that.
I mean, I'm so upset with us. I mean, we
did on the closing argument, honestly. But the simple fact that I got the dummy and my knees on the arm, how can you get the gun? That's, I mean, from that point on, I mean, that was it. That's almost equivalent to the gloves don't fit. I mean, how can you get a gun?
I mean, but he could have went further than that with it. He could have went further than that to make the jury member.
True.
I mean, you know, how did he get the gun? That's it.
John,
You didn't even go into it, man.
That the neighborhood watch, any neighborhood watch in the United States, they could walk around with a gun?
And not have the safety on? I thought you trained and always had a safety on. Because if he had the safety on, see, that's right there. When did he get time to pop the safety off? They don't even touch the safety.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because if he had the safety on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was a sham. It was just the important thing.
He already planned what he intended to do.
That's right.
He already planned what he intended to do.
Let's go on to 911 tape. Someone has said this. If that's the neighborhood watch and they're screaming, help me, why are you on the neighborhood watch? I mean, what type of neighborhood watch guy, what type of firm will hire a sissy that will scream at the first sign of danger? Like, what type of firm will hire somebody who will be screaming with a gun? I mean, who will scream when they have a gun? Females, excuse me, Nikki, there's females in the city that I know. If they got a gun, they're not screaming. They're shooting. There's no, help me. No, it's like, no, pop, 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 pop. You know? You know, that's just my take on it.
I believe George Zimmerman did some MMA shit on Trayvon, man. I mean, he had that shit all planned. This nigga was an MMA for a year. You don't be that long and don't learn nothing.
Mm-hmm, true. I agree.
You know, and you could be soft because, you know, it was just a sham.
So, what do you think we as black people, how do you think we should deal with it?
Apparently, I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel some things are going to happen, you know, later on. It may pop off. But, I mean, as far as, It's almost like everything, you feel hopeless.
When is it
going to
change?
Just about everything.
When is it going to change?
Right.
Hold on, let me take a break on that note. When is it going to change? I mean, let's go to a commercial break, then we come right back to that answer. I would like to know when it's going to change too, everybody. So where do we go from here? Because this shit is systematic, man. You know, John, where do you think we go from here? Black racist, black power, man. You know, black masculine.
Well, you know, we ain't ready. We ain't ready to go where we need to go. So, you know.
To come together as one first and stop trying to kill each other and doing all this stuff against each other and come together as one.
Well, the first thing we got to do is get rid of fear and be real, like the sister said, come together as one, even when we wrong, like they did.
If
they
we
came
wrong.
Together when they was wrong.
Even
they
when
was
we
wrong.
Wrong. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? They stuck together even when they was wrong. We always feel like we got to try to work with them. They even had a sister come on there, and she vouched for George Zimmerman on The Voice. She know good what that was Trayvon. But because she lived next to George or whatever, she wants to, you know.
I believe she was frightened. She was frightened.
Right.
It was more she could have said, but she was frightened.
And I'm talking about the old lady. I'm talking about the old lady. The old lady as a witness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Witness, that's George's voice. And I'm quite, that voice, it sounded like a boy, a young boy. You know, we always try to soft shoe everything. You know, we didn't want to mention color. I'm watching these commentators. The black commentators, they don't even want to say he was black. It's taking the white commentators to speak first and say it's a black thing. This is a black issue. And then the black commentators will be like, oh, yeah, he's a black boy. Well, first he's, yes, a young boy. Man, fuck that. He's a black boy. Quit being a punk and call it what it is. It's the white commentator, female, had to say, look, we all need to quit being flimsy and call it what it is. This is a racial pro. It took, man, we're so fearful.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand they're afraid to lose their job, so they want to be neutral. That's them. But it makes us look like punks.
Yeah,
we look like
you're
punks
right. Absolutely.
Right now.
Something else needs to be done. I mean, I don't know what can be
done.
I mean,
when we said we was black and we was proud, we got respect. When we said we was black and we was proud, we got respect.
Absolutely.
They respected us. We black, we proud. We gonna say it loud. They respected us. Now, we don't want to say we black. What the fuck is that? What? When you, what?
What are you?
But listen, would it be a black and brown issue where y'all consider George Zimmerman Hispanic?
Man, no. I mean, no. What's his last name? Zimmerman? His daddy's a magistrate. Okay. He do it. You know, he did some old punk white shit.
Absolutely.
So he ain't Hispanic.
He's not black. He's not black,
shit.
And he got away with it. He got away with it.
He
killed
shit.
A black young boy in cold blood and got away with it. And I don't understand. Are you talking about justice? Where's the justice for Trayvon and his family? And he's not the only one down there in Florida that got railroaded like that.
But listen, I got another caller. I got to bring in. But before I bring this caller in, let me do another beat break. I was trying to find some music that can culminate the whole situation, that can spark radical change and mental stimulation or even a riot. Let's see what's up.
I've been taught to respect my elders and behave. Even if when they were young, they saw slaves. Truth and understanding is what I crave in the land of the thief, home of the slave. Turn your page to a brief demonstration. It's now in 90, it's strictly information I'm giving. Teaching on a regular basis. Today's lecture is about the racist. We're not out to exaggerate or diss them, but show the symptoms and facts of racism. Understand, the racist ain't equal. There's about five different types of racist people. First of the five different types of cases is the individual brought up racist. Here you have young men and women brought up in the great white way opinion. This opinion introduced by the parents of the civilized becomes transparent. A civilized man could look through the faces, make the analysis and see the racist. Number two case which all must hear is the individual racist out of fear. Here you have people that fear the African and conjure up new ways of trapping them. Number three is the unconscious racist. Not knowing they're racist, they invade this space. They say, I'm not a racist, I'm not a bigot. Yet they allow us to go on and won't admit it. Number money races. The one that used the topics of sheer economics, they say owning a business isn't for the black man. He don't want that, yet they went and took his land. Damn, that's like a rock in a hard place. You don't have your land yet, this ain't your space. America was built by every other race except the European, it runs this place. What a waste. America's doomed to be overthrown by the righteous real soon. But last but not least, racial prejudice. It's the black man speaking out of ignorance. Whitey this and Ching Chow that. It's not how the intelligent man acts. You can't blame the whole white race for slavery, because this ain't the case. A large sum of white people died with blacks, trying hard to fight racial attacks. The media wants you to think that no white really fought and died for civil rights. But once we have a true sense of history, you'll see this too is a mystery. If black and white didn't argue the most, they can clearly see the government screwing them both.
I got Nikki in. I threw a little Karis one, trying to do a little something. Hey, Sean, I'm bring you in too. But dig this out, Nikki. We about to do a little something here. We got Rain in from Jacksonville, Florida, and I see Lolita from Tennessee. But I'm gonna see what Rain has to say, and let's take the temperature out down there in Florida. So y'all just peeping in and out and see. Jump in with y'all phones, but from Jacksonville, how you doing?
I'm good. How
Rain,
are you?
Finding yourself and yourself.
Yes, sir,
we're talking about the George Zimmerman verdict, and I'd like to hear your response, your comments, or anything that you'd like to say.
I think as a Floridian, I'm just sad. We have a history of just not getting it right. And unfortunately, our governor stands behind that. And he is the ringleader a great deal in things that go wrong in this state. We just don't get it right, and we don't care enough to try to get it right. As a mother, I'm sick, because although I'm not raising a black male child, I'm in love with a black male. I have a black daughter, and these are her realities. These are the things that she is going to grow up in. This is the climate that exists for her to grow up, not to have raised a different way, and now this is what it has become. This is what she's having to be raised in. And I think as a member of a Black Greek Letter organization, a member of Sigma Gamma Rho, I truly believe it is time that we take our place as leaders in the community, that we step up, that we do what we're supposed to do, that we stop thinking about step shows and foolishness and colors and T-shirts, and that we make a stand, we make a way. We are supposed to be paving the path. And so I encourage all of my D9 brothers and sisters to stand up. It is time. We have to make changes. And Florida is just the start. Jacksonville is going to be the very next hot spot. I know we have the Jordan Davis trial coming up here very soon. And this is a man who shot a young boy in cold blood simply because his music was loud and he feared for his life. That is the epitome of racial profiling. That is ultimately the definition of it. Based solely on his race, his vehicle, and his music, he made an assumption that he was a threat and he shot.
And is he in jail? Is he in jail?
He's out. He's in jail. He's claiming stand your ground.
He's claiming stand your ground. The kid had no weapon. The kid was in the car, seated.
Yes, there was no weapon. There was no weapon found in the vehicle at all. He felt threatened because it was night. He was with his wife. It was a large SUV. It had a young black male behind the wheel, and he shot four times and killed him.
Four times. Oh my gosh.
And so that's the next big trial that is coming up here
in
Florida.
And when is that?
I want to say the preliminaries are going to start early next month. What concerns me the most about it is that the reality of it is he will probably get off. That is the reality of it. And it doesn't make me happy to say that, but the way the Stand Your Ground law is written here in Florida and the way that it can be presented in court, it makes it very difficult to defend it. So if a person is saying, I felt threatened, I was here in a legal capacity, I have every right to protect myself. The Florida Stand Your Ground law is very different than the Texas Stand Your Ground law, the Arizona Stand Your Ground law, or Tennessee. It's worded slightly differently.
Are you saying that, I mean, it's apparent the guy was standing up and the kid was in the car, and you're saying he fired into the car, and no gun was found, and he can get off? I mean, no bodily threat. I mean, nobody. So he just have to think that he feared. He ain't have to be being beat or nothing.
And
so all he had to do was just think he's in fear.
That is correct, and that's
so
the biggest difference between the Florida Stand Your Law and Gibbs Oliver State is that you just have to be in fear. There doesn't have to be a present danger. You just have to be in fear.
Oh boy, we'll see. if he gets off, man. Y'all better start carrying guns down there. You hear me?
I mean, I'm a proud Democrat, but I love my Second Amendment rights, I really do.
I mean, because
it is serious here.
If he gets off on fear alone, I mean, this is just open season on blacks down there. They saying, well, you can be fearful of black people and get away with killing them.
It happens every day, unfortunately, here. The disregard for the basic human rights of African Americans in this state is disgusting. And I say that, and, you know, I work in the HR field, so I help people get employment. I've worked with, you know, those who come out of the prison systems, and just how we perceive African Americans in the state of Florida is so skewed that it's going to be very difficult, I think, for any young black male to stand up in court and say, I was right.
Sorry about that, sister. Hello?
Well, listen, no, hold on for a second. Hold that, put a pin in that, Sean. Hold on for a second, Indianapolis. Let me bring Nashville in for a second. It's Lolita from Nashville. Lolita from Nashville, what's your comment or thought, and what's the thought on the Zimmerman trial? And my producer would like to know, what's the climate like down there?
The climate in Nashville is very somber. Honestly, if you've ever been to Nashville, it's predominantly white. So a lot of people here that are African Americans are feeling very, very down. Just being completely frank, a lot of people here were rooting for Zimmerman to get off. So we really didn't have the riots or anything like that. We've kind of been in our own little world as far as, you know, what we discuss and the things that we want to do. I'm also a member of Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated. And what we're planning to do is tomorrow to go to the NAACP and pledge our time to see what we can do to help in any way possible. I'm sickened. I don't have any children, but I do have a lot of, you know, friends who have sons. And I can't even imagine. You know, I had a friend, he happens to be a Phi Beta Sigma, and he has two sons. And he was in tears because that easily could have been his son. And my heart goes out to everyone, no matter what color, because I didn't know that you couldn't walk down the street with a hoodie on and go to the store and buy tea and skitter. I just didn't know that was not something that you could do in the state of Florida. You know, I was looking at some pictures on Facebook, and I was looking at the demeanor that Zimmerman had. And I did not know that please correct me if I'm wrong, but his father is a retired judge.
Yeah, magistrate, yes.
I did not know that. I did not know that. And it floored me, because if I had known that information, then it would not have shocked me, as far as the verdict is concerned. You know, what does bother me is I fear for his family. And I know, you know, some people will be like, well, I don't care about that. But I fear for his family, because his actions alone has put his family in danger. Because one thing we have to understand about the American society, we have always been a brutal society. Violence is a part of our history. And a lot of times, you know, as a people, we can't effectively communicate. So when the natives get restless and they're not able to communicate effectively, violence is the only thing that they know to turn to.
Well, hey, like you say, God's will. Shit.
I'm not going to roll on no God's will, no.
No, I'm saying what Zimmerman said. It's God's will.
I'm not tripping on anything. Before I bring you in, Indianapolis, and before I bring you in, Mississippi, I'm going to play a song which I feel that kind of says the situation that happened.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me get that right. I was meaning God's will if something happened to Zimmerman's family, not Trayvon's family.
I was gonna allow that point to come out. Let me just play this little song.
Okay.
This is deal with the situation went out. This is my man O'Shea Jackson and Dr. Dre, and this is Neckborn
Dr. Dre.
Of a maniac, doomed to be a killer since I came out the nut sack. I'm in a murderous mind state with a heart full of terror. I see the devil in the mirror, fuck, lights out. Cause when I grab my sword off, niggas get hard on. Barrel one, set your motherfucking head. Barrel two, set your fucking heart at your chest. You see, I'm quick to let the hammer go flick on my tech nine. Do it, you try to wreck mine. Do this your bedtime. Feel the blast from the chocolate bomber. Infrared and at your head like your name was Sarah Connor. Decapitation, I ain't hesitating to put you in a funeral home with a bullet in your dome. I'm hot like lava. You got a problem? I got a problem solver, and his name is Revolver. It's like a deadly game of freeze tag. I touch you with a 44 mag, and you're frozen inside a body bag. Nobody iller than a graveyard filler, cap filler, cause I'm a natural born killer.
Shauna in Mississippi.
Hello. Oh,
how you doing, Shauna?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jimmy?
All right. What's your take on the Zimmerman verdict? I'm gonna bring everybody else in. What's your take on the Zimmerman verdict?
You know, we're still grieving down here. It's we're it's common, you know, coming, growing up in Mississippi, we see it all the time. It just didn't make, it doesn't make the national news like this. I do believe that, I don't think everything is in vain, I would say, because they thought that they were going to be able to, that this was just another clean-cut case. He's gone. He shouldn't have been over here. Let's close the case because it just wasn't done properly. Even police, they didn't even initially arrest him, so they just didn't have anything. So I look at the fact that I'm just glad that the case, they did not think that it was going to make, it was going to draw all this attention. I'm so glad it got all this attention. And but we're still grieving and disappointed. It's a sad day in America. I just really don't know what to say other than we're getting ready for the similar law here. Our law is never went off the books where you care about. And we're getting ready to now embrace a law where we can carry our guns openly as long as people can see it. It never went off the books, but they're bringing it back now where you can, as long as the company don't have a sign in the window that saying that we don't want a gun in here, you can carry it openly on your body. So we're getting ready to embrace probably a lot of it down here. We're not happy about it at all.
And you got to be registered, right?
Yeah, it has to be registered. It has to be able to.
That's how they're going
to
keep it out of our hands.
Yeah, so you think about it. All you got to do is reach, and you might not even be loaded. You could be getting a piece of gum out your pocket. And because this law is coming into Mississippi where, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen now. You know, they could shoot you legally. Anybody can shoot you legally because all they got to say, well, I thought you were reaching for something. You looked at me like, you know, so they got a hold on it right now, but they're trying to get this thing cranked back up. And I just feel for the black community, our young black boys, and here in Mississippi, it's just going to be many more cases if this thing, if they don't kind of try to pull on this law. It never went off, but they didn't, you know, they kind of hushed it.
I mean, ain't this something like human rights violations or something, international human rights violations?
Yeah.
I mean,
it is a human rights violation.
I mean, come on, we can't get civil rights in this country. I mean, we can't get equal rights here, man. Human rights is violated all the time. We got so much evidence. I mean, can't we take it to the international court or something? Oh, but then who's going to enforce it, right?
Human rights.
Don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything, and we need to stand up as one.
I mean,
I mean, human rights are violated every day.
Civil rights as well.
Mom, Indianapolis. What do you have anything to say?
Follow him. He killed him, and he killed
Toby Miller.
Oh yeah, I was just soaking it up, Jimmy. We talked about it a few weeks ago, or last week as well. You know, I thought the prosecution made a mistake even trying to go for second-degree murder. You know, Mike, I think we spoke about it before. I didn't think they were going to get a conviction with that charge. I was a little bit more encouraged about a potential conviction when the judge in her instructions allowed for manslaughter, which I thought was probably the more appropriate.
But manslaughter, but the judge could have said, like, oh, a year and a half time served. You know, that's nothing.
The judge can't say that before sentencing. They can only say either murder two or manslaughter, and that's it. They can't say, well, if you do murder two, it's this many years, or if you do manslaughter, it's this many years. It's either one or the other, or either not guilty. They can only do, there'll be a whole other thing for sentencing.
Right, sentencing is a whole other issue. But
Right. You know, when the prosecutor, if the prosecutor is prosecuting a case, you know, if they're prosecuting a second-degree murder case, they spend more of their time on trying to show depraved state of mind and that there was a degree of, that there's a degree of intent. That's going to be harder to prove, particularly in a situation where you have circumstantial evidence and you have somebody who's proclaiming that they're going for they were doing whatever they were doing in self-defense. If you're going for manslaughter, then the whole direction of your prosecution, your whole strategy is different. And all you have to do, you spend your time saying, "Is there a dead body?" Yes. And then was your behavior such that it contributed to this dead body?
Right.
If you do that, then your strategy is geared better for this particular case. The prosecution messed this whole thing up.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And but even if you have a slam dunk case like Casey Anthony case, the way that things are written, the jury instruction, it's going to be hard to get a conviction unless you're a black man.
Yeah.
Unless you're a black man.
You're saying that...
Really, what I'm talking about is, one, the prosecution may make mistakes, which cost us a moment of justice here.
You don't think this whole thing was staged, bro? You don't think this whole thing was staged?
Yeah,
I mean,
even a white attorney
came on and said, this is staged.
I believe that.
It was staged, dude.
It was not
served. I said, okay, even if it was.
Look at the arguments. They touched on important things. They could have dwelled depth. I mean, they could have went deep on a lot of things, and they just brushed off on it. They touched on it like they were going to do something.
Right from here, though, the prosecution made a strategic mistake going for second degree murder. It was going to be harder to get a conviction with second degree murder as your premise. They drew a case up around second-degree murder. So if you draw a case around that and you are not prepared to really do it and drive it home and you don't have the information,
like they said on TV, it was the defense brought up that it was racial. It was racial, right?
Yes.
When they said because Zimmerman thought because it was black, it was okay to follow. It was okay to follow Trayvon.
Right,
so it became a racial, and they said no, scratch racial when you say profile. They said that the magistrate told the prosecutor scratch race when you say profile because people already understand when you say profile what it means.
Right,
so
no.
Don't say race.
Here's what it was staged, my man.
All the defense has to do
with those six white women was put the germ of profiling in their head, and then give them the idea. Here's a young black thug. And do you believe this clean-cut neighborhood watchman, or do you believe the thug who's lying there dead, who tried to kill this man? All they had to do is get them white women to tap into that inherent fear they have of the black man, and it's a set case.
Mm-hmm. Black boy, young minor, did not have a weapon. He had a juice and a pack of Skittles.
Look, it was a conservative town, bro.
But here, hold on, check this out.
Yeah.
Sister, I understand. Yeah, he has Skittles, but one of the strongest loaded weapons that explodes on white people every day is black skin. The moment they see black skin, they get scared.
True.
So he was a deadly weapon. He was a deadly weapon the moment he was born because he's a young black male.
True.
So I don't care if he had a Skittles or an AK. As far as people were concerned, it's a black boy, and he's a
thug. He still was targeted.
That's right.
So it should have been a racial profiling case. They couldn't afford it because that was the only way he identified that bro. That was the only way he identified him because he fit a description of black. And nobody want
to
talk about it. It was a racial case. You know,
I'm top it out. Hey, Holland, get your point in. I'm gonna take one break. I'm bringing all y'all back in. Holland, got anything to say?
Hey, happy day. You know, another day, another dollar. A lot of stuff going on. So Go to your break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
I appreciate that, Holly. Now, listen, when I come back, I want everybody to realize prostitution, or was it old Precious, old Gentile? Was it her? Now, I want y'all to come back. Now, I'm going to play a little cut, and I want you to know to see how similar the cases are, and if Gentile could have did her whole little testimony, similar to the way my man Lawrence Fishburne did his testimony when he testified in Cornbread, Earl, and Me.
I knew Cornbread all my life, ever since I was a real little guy.
And on the date in question, did you see this occurrence?
Yes, sir.
Where were you?
In front of a store.
Which store?
Mr. Fred's store.
All right, Wilford. Now, you go ahead in your own words and you tell us what you know. Don't you start at the beginning and tell us everything you know.
Well, it all started when me and Earl was watching Cornbread and the other big guys play basketball. Then it started to rain. So then we all ran down to Mr. Fred's store. Mr. Fred, he was mad at having all those kids in his store. So he began to yell in. Pretty soon it was just Cornbread, me, and Earl. And then Cornbread brought us each a pop. You know, he was always good to us. Then he bought one for himself. And then One Eye came in.
Beg your pardon, did you say One Eye?
Yes, sir, everybody out there knows One Eye.
I see. Go on, son.
No. Then Cornbread said that he had to get moving. So he bought another pop for himself to drink at home. And then we said that he ought to wait until it stopped raining. But he said no, that he had to get on home. And then me and Earl, we got to arguing. We's always arguing as to how fast Cornbread could run home. And I said, maybe 10 seconds. And Cornbread laughed and said, no, about 45 seconds. And then we made sort of a bet. And then me and Earl and Mr. Fred and One Eye went out under the awning with Cornbread. Cornbread took off with his basketball under one arm and his orange pop in the other hand.
What a
man. Boy, you should have seen how he ran. Cornbread ran. It didn't even look like he was moving. He could sure run. And boy, was he moving. And then, you know, he gets to counting. While Cornbread's running, you know, and on one. And at two. And Cornbread's pumping away, and it's raining, and Cornbread's racing down the block. And then those two cops, they run into the street. And it looks like they yelled something. But I couldn't tell what it was, because there was that garbage truck grinding away. Anyhow, those two guys, they had out their guns, and they shoot. And they shoot Cornbread. Then he was dead.
Now, if Gentile could have gave a nice, riveting performance like that, we'll be going through these things. Now, the scene I just played for you all, not old school people, but I bring y'all in, was Lawrence Fishburne in his debut acting career as Me in Cornbread, Earl, and Me. Lawrence, what's the basketball player name? Jamal Wilkes was a basketball player, and he was going home in the rain with a orange pop in his hand and a basketball, running through the rain, and some cops shot him. The cop got off in the end of the movie. You know, it's a cover-up. They went out buying off, paying off witnesses and stuff like that. But it's kind of similar. But if Gentile would have gave a performance like that, do y'all think it would have been award-winning? Now, I'm a, y'all in the blue room. Now, I'm going to go city to city. I'm going to start from Mississippi and work my way up north. Now, Shauna, do you think if Gentile would have gave a good performance in a testimony, it might have been a different outcome? Or do you think Gentile gave an excellent testimony?
Oh, no doubt. It was an excellent testimony. It was emotions. It was in a story form where you can kind of picture it. And he put his heart into it. I mean, he spoke the truth. So
yeah. Now, with that and with Gentile on the stand speaking, do you think if she would have gave a performance like Lawrence gave that, or do you think they paid attention to Gentile performance? Do you think her testimony did anything to sway the jury, Shauna? I'm going to ask all of you that question. I'm coming to each one of you all, so be ready to answer that question. But you think Gentile had any play in the outcome of the verdict, Shauna?
They watch everything. I think she, you know, Gentile could have done a better job, but they, you know, the people watch everything. And if it's nonchalant or if there's no emotions, people buy stories and they buy emotions. And you have to be able to put a little in that to get your point across.
Yeah, okay, I'm holding you last, Sean. So hold on, don't get mad at me. Let me go to Nashville, Tennessee. Yo, Nashville, same question. Gentile performance.
As far as Gentile's performance, first of all, she's a child. You know. This was her friend. And with that being said, I mean, she was going to have emotion. She was going to be angry. The defense attorney was very condescending. He talked down to her. You know, it bothers me because, you know, as African Americans, we were so hard on her as saying, well, she should have been like this and she should have been like that. But none of us was in that situation. The type of pressure that she had was probably so overwhelming. And he was talking to her like she was stupid, basically. Do I think that her testimony would have changed the outcome? No. Because the bottom line is the jury were from a neighborhood where they were gun-toting, whatever, you know. And just to be real, I mean, Trayvon's family didn't have a chance, really, when you just sit back and you look at all the situations just in the courtroom. I just don't think that it would have changed. I really don't. I don't think the verdict would be any different. Hello.
Hello.
Nikki. What's your take on I'll come back to you, Sean, in a minute. All right, Sean. Hold tight, Sean. Nikki. What's your take, Nikki? And I hope she come back from Jacksonville. I want the Jacksonville, Florida opinion of this, but I hope you call back in, Ran. And so did you, Holland. I was coming to you next. Call back, Sean. Straight up, I want your opinion on this. Nikki, your opinion on
Jimmy, I'm want to put my sister Denise on the line from Madison, Wisconsin, and let her speak about it a little bit, if you don't mind.
No problem, go ahead.
Me personally, I don't think that it would have mattered. I don't know, maybe I see it different than a lot of people, but me personally, I think the verdict was going to be the verdict anyway. I mean, they just gave a trial just to satisfy his parents. They wasn't going to convict that man in the first place. It was always, to me, going to be that way anyway. You know, I feel so bad for the parents because the only reason he got to go to trial is because, you know, they cared so much. They had so many people supporting him and behind them. Other than that, that man would never even went to trial. I don't think so. So I say the verdict was going to be the verdict regardless of what anybody, who it was, or, you know, it was going to be the same. That's just how I feel, you know.
Somebody really feel, how do you really feel about Gentile's testimony? What do you think about that? Tell me how you really feel about that.
You know what? It was sad. I think that it was so much pressure. And, you know, so many things, you know, I'm just so shook and I'm just so mad about the whole situation. You know, I've just
Let me help you out right now. Let me probably bring you in, Toby, I'll bring you in, Sean, bring you in, but listen, I'm not going to ask you all that question, but I want y'all to feel me for a second. I want the men to feel me for a second. Now, this trial was one whole year. Now, first I was feeling sorry for Gentile, the pressure, and then it dawned on me. You know, if that was my son's girlfriend, I want her to ride. Well, you know, see, you're all about ride. All these young females out here saying, I ride for my nigga, I'm down for my nigga, bust a cap for my nigga. I'm on the stand, and I ain't coming back tomorrow. Fuck y'all. Now I ain't going to the... Hold on, lady.
Yeah.
Right now. I have a feeling like this that...
Hold it, man. Please.
I feel that they forced her to even go up there to tell her side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that she didn't want to do it. So, listen, her testimony was like the testimony for all of Black America.
Yeah.
I don't care, forget you, whatever, I'm on TV. I'm a superstar. See, now, I was seeing who was going to tiptoe through the jungle. See, now, I played a little Cornbread Earl in me. And get a 240 call. I played a little Cornbread Earl in me to see if y'all can understand, you know, some little theatricals. You see the similarity?
So, okay. So she can't be herself, what you're saying. She can't be herself. She has
Hold
to
on.
Be a certain way. She can't be honest because she told the truth, regardless of how she acted.
I mean, she made
the whole truth how I heard it on the phone. Okay, this boy is gone. I can't speak to him no more. I can't see him no more. I was the last person to talk to him before he died. So therefore, you're not finna twist up what I'm saying. I'm finna tell you exactly what I heard. You're not finna twist up what I said. I could have heard him. I heard him. I know his voice. He was the one hollering, not the other one, not Zimmerman. There's no way. They were trying to trip her up and everything. And then she was getting so frustrated because she had repeated it probably over and over again. She was under pressure. There's no way. I wouldn't have folded. I would have kept on going regardless of what they were saying because justice still had to be served. Because he's not here no more to speak for himself.
I mean, she was a young girl, though. Okay, I was in the schools. These young kids, they don't know how to think under pressure. Their first reaction is to fight. Okay.
Females are
so,
Cleveland, Sean.
And they knew that.
Young females in Cleveland beat dudes up on bus stations. Point I'm coming here right now.
They don't know how to think under pressure. Okay. But the things that she said, you know, coincided. Go ahead.
I didn't want my point to get out like that. I just wanted to throw that for argument's sake out there. Whatever arguments are out there, I'm coming out and saying this for the simple fact that she's the last person he testified. The only person that can say, him say this, he following him this. The only one can verify and then going to say, I ain't coming back tomorrow. Testimony over.
Right.
See ya. Hold the fuck on.
That's right there.
That shows a disrespect dead man. That was the most disrespectful.
Yes, sir.
Listen, let me tell you, they did not coach this girl. Okay? They did. It was a mock trial. Look, Jimmy, it was a mock trial. That's what it was. It was a mock trial. They did not coach her. They did not care.
They didn't do that. They didn't tell her this is how it's going to be and this and that. They didn't rehearse it or none of that.
Right. They didn't coach her. I mean, it was a facade. It was a show.
Absolutely.
She didn't want to
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, I mean,
let me Justina from D.C. She's at a protest down there. Let me see what she has to say. And then I see Patrice from Detroit. But let me bring Justina in from D.C. and let us see what she has to say. What's going on, Justina? How you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
Fine, fine. Why don't you go on there and let it out. You're on live. What's happening?
Well, I actually went to one of the rallies last night in front of the White House, and that was a pretty good turnout that was organized by D.C. area Greek organizations. And actually, Roland Martin was also there, and he spoke and gave us a lot of very inspiring words. And everyone who was there actually exchanged numbers and email addresses and things of that nature so that we can take this this outrage and, you know, this need to protest and speak out beyond just meeting up and, you know, speaking out in front of the White House and across the country. And then today there was another organized march by the NAACP chapter from Howard, and we met up at Malcolm X Park, and then we marched 4 miles to Howard University where they spoke there. And the march, there was tons of people. We marched through U Street, and there was a lot of support from the people who were out on the street and at the restaurants who were eating outside and people who were driving in their cars. And we pretty much shut down that strip of traffic in order to get through. So I thought that was very positive. There was at least like 200 to 300 people out in that march.
Where's the justice?
But I think the most important thing for people to remember is that now that the weekend's over and everybody's going back to work tomorrow and during the week, that's not a time for us to forget about what's going on. Like, we need to bring back the selflessness that the leaders like Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and stuff like that had in the civil rights area. This is far beyond what's going on in your personal life. And you can't wait until there's a Trayvon in your life in order to get mad and get angry. You need to stay involved and stay on top of it and keep fighting because nobody's just going to roll over and give us what we want.
That's right.
But how long is it going to take? I mean, you shouldn't. We should all come together. That is so true. But you know, then you got to think about it. I mean, no justice. It was no justice, and you know,
We gotta go to a higher court. I mean,
yeah, he's not the only person. No, it's not only him. It's for, you know, I have three sons, three black sons. You know, it's for my kids, your kids, whoever kids. You know, we do need to keep on, but it's still. You think about it. Is it ever gonna be justice? I don't think so. It don't seem that way.
No,
Hold on, everybody. Now, Justina, everybody, mic is live. I'm going to bring everybody in, but please say your name when you talk so everybody out there in the radio land can know who got these live-ass ideas. But, Justina, my sister's going to get your number. We're going to have Prince Poe from Organized Confusion. We got a conversation, hip-hop, and the Trayvon Martin decision, what's the responsibility and what's the reaction. But let me bring Patrice in from Detroit, and who has two sons. Let me see what she has to say. And if anybody still got comment on how come Chantel didn't ride for a man, y'all let me know that too. Patrice, what's going on?
Hi, how is everybody tonight? My heart was just broken last night when I heard the verdict. And last night was one of the nights that I've never held my sons as tight as I could possibly hold them. You know, my sons trying to explain to an 11-year-old and to a 10-year-old that, you know, that this can happen even in today's time, and trying to explain. And the conversation that my oldest son came to me and said, he said, well, Mom, you know, what will happen to this man? You know, what will happen to him? You know, somebody is going to come back and do mean to him. And I've had to try to explain to him. I said, see, that's where we have to, change the way we think. We don't ask for harm to someone to continue harm, because then we get nowhere. It just keeps repeating the cycle. I said, but I did tell him, I said, this is where you step in as a young up-and-coming leader, where now you see the injustice in your generation, just like we saw it in our generation. So now you have to step out there and start trying to find a way to get it out there like Martin Luther King did. Just like I remember being at Central State, you know, down in Wilberforce, Ohio, when there was something that was jumping off, we pulled together, we marched. We did what we had to do, and it's just, it's now.
A march for what, though?
Oh, well, we,
I mean,
well, we
might as well run a marathon for civil rights. I mean, what? Marching
I mean,
does what?
It wasn't like march, but it was just making a point, you know, or just being able to let them know we're pulling together, that we're here, and that we're not going to put up with it. But I was trying to get him to understand that, you know, it's hard out here for a young black man to just be able to just go and live his life without having someone coming out and targeting them. And his question to me is, what do I do? You know, how do I not get picked? How can I walk down the street and someone doesn't touch me? And that, for once in my life as a parent, I didn't have an answer.
I know that's right. I know.
I didn't have an answer. And I never cried as hard as I did last night, knowing that I'm raising two, and I don't have an answer.
You know why I feel? I feel like prey right now. Like an animal. Like you got a stalker and you got the prey.
Amen.
They don't know what's coming.
You know, have you seen the movie
like
Purge?
I feel like a gazelle that's getting hunted by a cheetah or something, huh?
Exactly. Have you seen the movie Purge? Have anyone seen Purge?
Mm-hmm.
If you ever get a chance to see Purge, it is today's life. 12 hours to do completely any crime you want for 12 hours. And the only thing you have to do is protect your family until it's over for 1 year. That's
well,
how I feel.
I got one break to take. I had two more breaks. One break, commercial-free avenue.
Yeah.
The other call. But listen, I understand what everybody was saying, but... Let me tonight play some PE to get everybody all fired up for a little bit.
Hey. Mm-hmm. Hey, this Purge.
Yeah. It's, matter of fact, it's in the theater. I think it's still in the theater today. It's where, for 12 hours, one day out of the 365 days a year, people can create any crime they want. Any crime. It doesn't matter if it's murder, steal, kill, rape. It doesn't matter. Any crime for 12 hours.
Even me. holding me back? Ah, is it because I'm black? It's holding me back. Ah, is it because I'm black? Yeah. In this world of no pity, I was raised in the ghetto of the city. Oh yeah, oh no,
we're black, everybody, that we feel like we pray shine unchecked out. But is it because we black, everybody? Is this why y'all think this trial didn't go our way? Anybody? Toby? Iota Toby?
Yeah, Jimmy. I think race had something to do with it. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, it was the approach and in my opinion, poor advancement of the prosecutorial strategy that ultimately cost us some justice here. So, you know, I struggle with whether or not the testimony of the one sister could have been better. I obviously it probably could have been better, but she could have been coached better. You know, they could have addressed some things a little bit differently and prepared her a little bit better. But I think at the end of the day, Jimmy, that it comes down to that jury didn't care about what happened before those two started fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they did was think, if I was fighting this young black thug, would I be afraid too? And when they decided that they would share that same fear,
mm-hmm.
then they decided that Zimmerman, no matter what happened before that fight, was justified in killing. And I think had the two been different, had a black man profiled a young white boy and shot him dead, we wouldn't be here.
Nope. That's the truth. I agree.
So true.
I had read about a woman that had was in Florida and made warning shots to her abusive husband, got 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
No, you
didn't
care
nobody.
Now, here's what I believe in, and this is a little bit of flipping of the script. I believe that black folks need to go ahead and take advantage of stand your ground laws.
Come on now.
We need to go ahead
and stand our ground
and embrace our Second Amendment rights.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
And we need to go ahead and then we need to recognize it is open season again on black people.
Come on.
Yeah,
you know, we tend to forget that just 60-some years ago, a young black boy was murdered the same way, and his murderers were acquitted, too.
Emmett Till.
You know, and we're still dealing with the same environment.
Come on.
So when when I see a white man come on my street, and I'm the new dedicated neighborhood watch for my neighborhood.
Follow him.
You're damn straight. I'm going to look at him, and I'm going to say, you a threat to me, sir.
That's
I'm
right.
Follow
that's
you
right.
I don't know you. And
that's
you know
right.
what? I'm within my rights because I'm neighborhood watch. And
absolutely.
I believe that by virtue of who you are, who I am, and this whole country, that you are going to mean me hard. And I'm going to put two hops in you.
Come
now,
on.
Now, see, that's a whole other swing. But
mm-hmm.
I guarantee if we were killing white folks like we're killing black folks. It'd be a whole different kind of culture.
Yes,
oh, they respect us. They will respect us. They will respect us.
Mm-hmm.
They don't respect you if you don't fight back.
No,
they don't.
They, is,
they respect
it,
the Asians.
We make it so comfortable when we say, when we give them the olive branch constantly, saying,
and they give us nothing.
And we say, we're going to be nonviolent with you. You know, God bless that. I love the moral authority that Dr. King advanced with that, but I believe that Dr. King would not have been half as successful with that whole strategy if Malcolm X wasn't there saying, you step to me and I'm going to deal with you.
You doggone right.
I believe that balance needs to be there, and unfortunately, our people abdicate our sense of self-defense.
for the idea, the politically correct notion of saying we want to try to get along with you. We have to make sure we take care of our own and take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is making sure people understand that the vanguard, and this is what I'm going to tell my fraternity brothers, the vanguard's got to step back up in our community and say, you're not going to tread up in here and you're not going to treat us badly. And you know what? We're going to deal with our own who kill us just as we're going to deal with you who kill us.
That's right.
Doggone right. You right about that.
By any means necessary.
Doggone right.
Now,
Black Panther,
well,
like, we done with this.
Well, let me throw a curve on the whole
conversation.
Check this out. Let me throw a curve on the whole conversation. Since I might, let me see if I see George Zimmerman as a Hispanic. And the Democratic Party new boys are these essays. The new white boy new niggas are the essays. They let one of theirs off. Listen. They're giving them the DREAM Act. The Voting Rights Act just got repealed. Check this out. The generation of the civil rights children, which we are, isn't it funny that the civil rights bill that have been chipped away retiring right now. And now here we are. We're right back in the same situation with our Emmett Till moment. Dig it. The civil rights generation, they 60, they 65, they 70. They retiring. Kids can't get no gigs. Grandkids can't get no gigs. They kids can't get no gigs. They
well,
kids
I ain't
can't
about
get
to
no
let
houses.
Them kick. I ain't about to let them beat me up, Jim.
Now, the essays right now, the DREAM Act, that I can go to school for free, the reparations, everything that we were planned, that we was promised, they're giving it to them now. And dig it. One of their own got off. Yeah, he was half white. Yeah, he was half Hispanic. Dig it. We got a president that's half white, half black. Y'all don't see this being as a move, and they're getting everything that was promised to us right now. Now, I'm saying we can say right here, we can argue it's a black and white deal. Now, dig it. Y'all can't see it as being a black and brown deal where they get all the rights and benefits that was promised to us right now, and one of theirs just got off. I mean, anybody?
Listen,
am I the only one that's saying that because I'm a Republican out here? I mean, anybody? Toby? Shauna? Nick? Lolita? Chicken Wisconsin? I mean, Patrice? I mean,
Jimmy, I haven't seen that. We haven't seen that. Okay.
Yeah, you haven't seen the DREAM Act right now, the act that's giving these Hispanics free education and free rights.
Good.
Now, an illegal alien can get the right to citizenship and all the rights and benefits, but check it out. If you're 16, 17 years old, got a petty crack crime or a little drug felony and got a baby mama pregnant, what have you, you can't even step foot on public housing and be with your kids right now because you are still in the shadows. You illegal grown-ass man in the shadows can't be a daddy because of some old rap felony, but you're an illegal alien and get the same rights and benefits. I'm just saying, the same, they're doing everything to keep their families together, making laws and all that, chipping all laws away, but y'all, it can be a black and white issue.
Mm-hmm.
It can be. Mm-hmm. It's racism.
Hey.
Y'all can't look at this half white, half Hispanic, which all this stuff is going for the Hispanic. Now, let me throw another curveball since that's what all the Democrats are looking at. And we got a black president, ain't nothing coming our way. We couldn't even get a victory right here. We couldn't even get a victory.
We couldn't even say black. We couldn't, because black people don't mean nothing, so we couldn't even say black in the whole thing, right? If you was Jewish, it would have been anti-Semitic and all that.
Correct.
Or he was gay, anti-gay. You didn't even turn out. But if you're black, that don't mean nothing in this.
No.
If you're black, we don't talk about them. They don't mean it. We don't see color.
This whole presidency,
no
the Hispanics
color.
Got a free
man,
ride,
shit.
They got off, and they getting away with murder. They shot a nigga. I saw his mama. I saw his uncle. They picking on English. First-time immigrant here. Papa nigga. First-time immigrant. I mean, descendant of an immigrant. Papa nigga can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can know black and white. Yeah, white man, justice system. We're looking at the acts and rights and benefits that they're getting. And even the fact that they can sacrifice a nigga and get away with it.
Okay, so Jimmy, so are you saying we should beg harder for rights?
No,
or should we just
all
say,
I'm
forget this system?
This.
Forget this system. Or what? Drop out of the system? I mean.
If only you all are saying, man
as
up.
As long as we.
No, I'm saying this. If everybody's saying, man up, act as one, act as right. Man, check the motherfuckers around us. Check everybody that's pushing everybody else's agenda. Check everybody that's on the path, everybody's agenda that's stripping everybody, that's stripping our rights right the fuck now. Yeah.
So how do we retaliate? How do we retaliate?
That's a good point.
Well, listen,
how do we retaliate, Jimmy?
No, this was stated in 1965. Stop buying into all that mess and you won't get disappointed. We be thinking of, on something
right.
not talking about political issues, but these people, you know, open enemies to you, love them so much, and we blind, deaf, dumb. You know what I'm saying? If anyone don't know anything about politics. You know what I'm saying? They say Obama, President Obama, I'm going to be real. You know, they say he the CEO of the white people affairs. You know what I'm saying? Not yours, since Trayon stuff happened. You know what I'm saying?
Let's keep it real. All I'm saying is that an Hispanic sacrificed a black, bullet to the heart, out of wear murder, they get in the Dream Act, they get to go to college and in-state tuition, like what the fuck? Listen, you can be Hispanic, and I want to go to UCLA, I live in Chicago, I can go to get in-state tuition. Matter of fact, I want to go anywhere and bam, I'm an illegal alien. I mean, I can get all the rights and benefits, but yo, if I'm like 21, 24, and when I'm 16, I got pop selling dope, I can't see my...
get on a boat.
No, there's a law that said I'm illegal and I can't step on government property because of a felony. Now you complain I can't watch my kids. Now I hear crazy. I hear causing ruckus. But and a motherfucker that's illegal, real world illegal, to get all the rights and benefits and kill a nigga just like a white man can do and get away with it. He showed us right there. The essay showed us. See, I look at the symbolism of the whole shit. The essay showed us right there. I niggas, I'm the white man too, bitches. Ha! I can get away. I'm the white man too.
Well then we're gonna have to get the Mexicans' view on that.
Not shy.
All right.
Keep your eye on the prize. All right,
because I ain't gonna quick to jump to say that. All right.
Hey.
I know. I can see they was putting that out there. I can see that. You can see that.
Hey,
you know,
man,
everybody could see that it was white. We could see who was behind it, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't even really about George. We already knew the setup.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, man.
We already know who behind it. You know what I'm saying?
And everybody, let me tell you something. And everybody saw it. And everybody knew it.
And they want us to get sidetracked. They want us to get distracted and don't focus on them.
I ain't tripping on the white man. I'm just saying.
Don't focus on that, man.
No, I'm just looking at look at the overall picture. Yeah, we look at Zimmerman. Yeah, white because his daddy is white. But I saw a Hispanic mama. That's like me saying Obama white. But I'm just saying, it is what the skin color say it is. It is, and that man can speak Spanish. He can speak two languages. If Gentile can speak three, he can speak two, maybe four. If he's someone says Jew, I mean, the man, more, I mean, what the hell? He's a first-time immigrant, came over here and said, hey, I'm just like a white man. Watch me pop a nigga. I'm going to get out of my car. I'm going to call the police, tell them step by step.
We'll see in Texas in about a year, because, you know, them white folks don't like those so-called, like those Mexicans coming across. So we'll see.
So don't.
If they don't pop them and let them come across, well, then we know what they're up to.
They're calling a Dream Act that this pushing.
But
everybody,
if they start popping them, you think the Mexicans going to sit back? I mean, with Latinos, you see how they come out to support each other.
They sure do.
We're the dope in our black community, the Mexicans, the Latinos. Is that dope? Who's killing the black? I mean, who's killing our community now? We can put Pablo Escobar. We know we can track it down to 1-1. We can track it down. We can trace it down. Hey, the white man, we know who's bringing it in. Let's be real in the field. I mean,
well,
I'm not
well,
just
let's
saying.
Keep it, let's keep
I
it on.
Saying,
let's keep it off. Let's keep it focused on who's the problem.
That's the problem. If we want to analyze the problem, look at who we. Let's look at. Listen. Let's look at who's bringing the dope in our spot. Who's bringing the smack in our spot? They ain't right now. They ain't got to fly them over the plane. They can walk them over the border. Right now, they up in this spot. They throwing them over the spot. We know who's bringing the dope in the spot. We know fucking our community up now. They ain't got to bring the dope in the spot. They can just walk over there and pop us and walk the fuck away with it. And pop us, walk the fuck away with it, and go to school for free. Well, we got fucking tuitions out here trying to pay fucking back student loans. And we built this motherfucking country. But I'm just saying, it's all about just strictly paying attention to what's really, really going on. 1965 Voters' Rights Act, it got popped. Yeah, it should have got popped because that shit should never be voted every 15 fucking years. But what the hell?
It should have been permanent. It should have been permanent. It's like saying, I only want to be civil with you temporary.
Ignorant
black folks. And we're like, okay, thank you, sir. Thank you for giving me some rights.
That's the part I was a little ticked off with Obama about. This is Patrice. This is the part that pissed me off with Obama, because I believe if it wasn't last year, the year before, it had to be signed into renewal. Okay, wait a minute. Dude, that was your opportunity there to make it permanent.
Yeah.
So my thing was, what was he thinking? Because he's going to be gone. So now we got to wait for the next one to come in to make it permanent. That's when I started losing faith for this black president. I said, that was your opportunity to right the wrong, and it didn't happen.
Because they don't ever intend to give you anything.
Correct.
They're playing with us.
Correct.
They're playing with us, and we're stupid. We keep going
at,
thank you.
That's
they're not going to ever give us anything.
But my father says the thank you master syndrome. We so used to run around thinking, say, thank you, master, and just grinning.
Uh-huh.
But when is the point that we're going to stop massing around? And
Because I'm telling you, I'm back on this xenophobic type of stuff. Because right now, the Voting Rights Act ain't for the blacks, it's for the Hispanics. Who just said, I can't read the polling place, I need to read Spanish. Hold on, it's for them now. All the affirmative action for these minorities in these down south Texas schools, it's not blacks they fighting over. It's Hispanics and Asians that's taking all them slots up. The Asians and Hispanics are taking all the minority slots. We don't use them. We don't abuse them. But yet we get blamed for them being out. So when they get cut out and we be the ones out there on the fighting ground right now, we'll fight. Like, if they didn't make the voting rights permanent for blacks because blacks were discriminated against, every civil rights law was a race that was discriminated against, not for everybody. So, me personally, get it all. I don't want no SA coming over and getting right shooting niggas and getting away with it no more. I'm sorry.
And you know what? We don't want anyone coming over here getting rid of anything. Because right now, you know, it was interesting, a very interesting conversation I had on Facebook today with a guy over from Australia. And he was saying where over there they're having an issue, their own civil war over there with the Germans, the Aussies. And they said what is really interesting is over there they don't have civil rights laws. And they said we're in the United States. They said you guys are in better shape because you guys got laws for civil rights. And I said, really? You can have laws all day. When they're followed is the question.
Exactly.
And no one's enforcing it. You know
that's the key. I said you can have laws all day long, but if they're not being enforced, you might as well say we're in the same boat you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just like you said, let's open season. Let's go.
You know, it's like what happened in Haiti when the French came there years ago. They came preaching peace and liberty, freedom from France oppression. So France came over, a lot of France. But the Haitians, they thought it was going to be freedom and liberty for them also. But they was oppressed. But eventually, they just said, forget this. It was freedom for the French people, not them. And they kicked them out.
Correct.
The same here. It's an illusion. They got us under an illusion that they want to give us equal rights. They want to be equal with us. They do not.
That's it.
And we keep being friends with them, being nice to them, and they don't do. They don't. Do they extend the olive branch? Hell no. Hello.
Hello.
They don't care about us.
Okay.
No, they don't.
No.
It's an illusion.
What I'm saying is this: everything, everybody feeling, everybody has right to feel how everybody's saying. The point I'm right the fuck now is that if they want to go in there and gut our spots and we got all these, like I said, me being Republican, don't trip on me, all these fake-ass black Democrat motherfuckers sitting back trying to happen, and all them black Democratic caucus that didn't say, hey, Obama, let's make it permanent when he got a chance to do it right now. See, the fucked up part about it is they can't say it because, you know, this me getting a historical lesson that them Democratic motherfuckers really can't bring up reparations, voting rights back, because they was trying to suppress that shit from day one. They want that shit to be in existence day one. So, yeah, they're going to extend it. Their whole platform was never to put that shit in the fucking place in the first place. Now, all I'm saying is the new niggas for the Democratic motherfuckers are the Zimmermans, and they just proved it down in Miami, swing-ass state, for the next motherfucking election. Y'all are boy. Nigga, give us a sacrifice. There you go. Dot out. You got the shit. They the underclass now. They the minority because you probably cut a deal with us now. Fuck the niggas. And that's what the fuck happened because ain't nobody riding. Nobody going to do nothing. Ain't Jack going to happen. They want to embarrass Obama. Nobody want to go out in the street and embarrass Obama. Real. So we can sit on my radio and pop it all we want. We can sit here and pop it all we want, but at the end of the day, we're going to go to our corners in our room on our fucking Facebook shit, play with our toes, and be like, damn, why can't we do a motherfucking Reginald Denny?
Man, I'm leaving the country, man. I'm straight up leaving the country, man.
They might be riding in Oklahoma, but I've not heard anybody get snapped out of red truck, hit with a brick, and start dancing. Where the Reginald Denny's at? I ain't seen them.
Okay.
I mean,
Well, give it time, okay? Give it time, Jimmy. It's only a matter of time. Okay, it's only a matter of time.
Now listen, Obama's a president, and none of these Negroes are going to embarrass Obama. That's the fucking deal.
That's true.
So let's be real. We can hope it because when we're children of the 90s. We remember the Rodney King. We remember the L.A. riots.
Yep.
Rise. We the children of the motherfucking 68 rise. Nigga, we know about the rise, but what? Ain't shit
right.
Popping off because Obama is our president and we ain't gonna do nothing.
So my deal is this,
black America to ride in the streets and y'all scared to take all your aggression out on the man that's let this man go, scared to rally because Obama, just tell y'all motherfuckers, fuck the Dream Act. You want to get angry?
So what you're saying is that.
It's the whole voting thing. Way before Obama got here. It just exacerbated once he became president. It became more prevalent. Basically, what they say, if you want to see the true nature of a man, we're seeing the true nature of man. As soon as a black man became president, now the racism has picked up 100%. I mean, 100%. So the problem is it always existed. It's just exasperated now, and it's even worse now that this white man got off. So now
let me drop this on you. Hold on, sister. Let me drop this on you. I agree with Jimmy. I don't know if y'all are Republicans, but I'm a happy black Republican as well. And one of the things I trip out on is all this indignation I'm hearing from our people. And I get it. I'm with them. I agree. But we haven't been holding this president accountable for nothing.
There
you know,
go.
He's over here giving the LGBT community their gifts. He's taking care of them.
Mm-hmm.
He's dropping off and saying, you know what, the flavor of the month is these Latinos, so I'm going to give them what they want. But
mm-hmm.
He said nothing when we were slaughtering people in his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us nothing.
Look
and
who
only
he put
thing
in
we did was go ahead. Only thing we did was go ahead and give him 98% of our vote for nothing. We don't ask the Democratic Party for nothing, but we believe that they really support our interests. No, they don't support our interests
that's
at
it.
All.
That's
and
it.
Really, nobody supports our interests. Nobody.
No,
that's right.
I was just going to ask if Obama didn't get elected president. I'm saying, do you think it would have been any different with someone
heck
else?
No.
I mean,
no.
McMahon came for the black man all day because he wanted the black vote. So now we went to him, and now we said our first deal was let's not ask him nothing because he wanted him to get elected. Now he got elected.
Right.
He ain't got to do nothing. Listen, I'm not tripping on him. When you get the second term, you get to go to Africa. You get to go tour the world. Your second term is your vacation term, and hope the ship don't fucking sink. Now, well, it's really up to the people, the electric, the whole the public. Like everybody say, hold your public elected officials accountable for them and make sure they do their job right.
Accountable.
But anyway,
we
got to
hold them accountable.
But in the end, who are they catering to? Hispanics right now. So if you're a Democratic Party, if you're black, in the Democratic Party, know that you're not the flavor of the month because it's Miami.
Well,
Latino, it's Mexican, it's the border, it's Arizona, it's the border, it's California.
Well, we won't be the flavor of the month, and we don't let people know that we're black people. We don't even want to call ourselves black anymore. I'm not black.
No.
I'm human. And, I mean, you see that in court case. And you're Republican. I want you to go around your Republican white buddies and say, hey, I'm black and I'm proud. I bet you don't even do that.
Full disclosure. Well, Jimmy Lee does that, and that's how camaraderie. A lot of
I mean, I'm sorry, bro. I didn't mean to say that, but when you, you know, I'm sorry. My bad, man.
Yeah, because we have
a lot of conflict. I'm talking about conflict like that, and I'm like,
right.
Not like that, but any Republican. No. Ask any Republican that Jimmy Lee is quick to tell them right this. You can be a Klan with a sheet in the motherfucking closet. If you can't get my black people, shit, get the fuck out my face. You see, I come like that. I don't sugarcoat nothing. Cause if you're for your people, you be for your people. You
there
see, you
right.
Listen. People realize once upon a time we were Republicans to the great Adam Clayton Powell went to the Democratic Party and showed the world that Democrats cared about blacks and started getting benefits and everybody started fighting
them. How come we can't form our own black party? I mean, what's wrong with that? That
yeah,
has
well,
what they call
the
people.
Black Panthers?
I mean, no, I'm serious, man.
No,
I mean,
no,
we got to play that game. It don't have a, I mean, black Republican, Democrat don't do nothing for either one of us.
It's not going to happen.
So why don't we form our own party? I bet you they respect that.
No, they won't respect that.
They respect people sticking together. They respect that.
Yes, they do stick together. But look at so much crime going on here in Chicago. They nicknamed it Chirac. And this is where President Obama rests his head when he's going to be right back here when he finishes his term. And the same thing going to be going on. It's not worth it.
That's right. Like I said, it's like Beirut here in Detroit.
That's
I mean,
right
now as we speak, I'm sitting in the basement because I can't stop hearing the gunshots go off. And I don't live in a bad area. So it's like, so it's everywhere.
Yes, it
is.
And
I'm very active in my community. Very active. You know, and I mean, active to the point that I'm dead tired every night, and I'm fighting and arguing, I'm going hoarse, and I'm trying to protect my own family and try to raise two black men in a world that don't give a shit about them. So now my
thing
is,
keep them in the house.
It's hard. It is absolutely hard. I mean, we can talk about what the problems is all day, but now I'm like, and I'm not saying it about this group, but I'm just saying in general, I'm ready for some loosens and I'm ready to start seeing some folks doing something because I know, like they say, you know, it only takes one or two people to start something, but it can't be the same one or two people doing it every time.
Well, I'm gonna tell you what it takes. It takes a person that ain't scared to lose. Now we're afraid to lose our jobs, right? That's why we don't do nothing. Al Sharpton don't have a job. That's why he rose to the top. He ain't had nothing to lose. When you ain't got nothing to lose, you would do anything. See, we so afraid of losing our jobs. When we were poor, we marched because we ain't had nothing to lose.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? When you ain't got nothing to lose, and they know that, and you then they respect you. But they get us with these jobs. We scared to even speak because I'm afraid to lose my job. When we start showing that we're not afraid to not have what they have to offer, then they'll listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
They respect someone who doesn't worship
down
them,
and that's gonna rise above it.
That's it.
I'm not suggesting violence, but they respect the Asians because the Asians they small, but they kick they fight back every time. Korea,
Korea,
Vietnam, Japan, don't matter. They get respect.
That's it.
They look at us like y'all taller than us, and they beating y'all butt. Well, I mean, they respect them. They running the world now. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Well,
hey,
you know, it's, you know, it's,
I feel bad. I feel bad. But
you know, that's definitely,
I feel like the black culture, we need to, you know, these kids, they need to go to school and get an education. Like these exchange students and students from, they come over here to America and learn what we know over here and go over there and run their country.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They run their country. But what are they doing over here?
Mm-hmm.
I admire those Indians I seen when I was down south. You know, I walked past a hotel that was barbed wired off. So I went up there, you know, thinking it was a hotel. It was actually Indians. They had a whole hotel for their families. You know, they all lived in one. So they went out and worked, and whatever money they came back, and they all put it in one pot.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? They all stayed at that hotel. They didn't try to get fancy houses, fancy cars, all that. They all money, and they pulled it together. Now, we're not going to do that. I know for a fact. I done been down that road. tried the black groups. It will do it for a minute, but we like that individuality thing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to, you know, and because of that, we can't come together. You know,
because we can easily go. We ain't coming together tomorrow. And like, remind all my listeners, we got Prince Poetry for the group organized. Confusion on there. We're going to deal with the hip-hop reaction and response to Trayvon Martin, and we're trying to see if we get a Greek response and what their plans on doing in the response with this Trayvon Martin situation. I got Shauna from Jackson, Mississippi, Nikki from Chicago. We had Rand from Florida. We got Lolita from Nashville and her homie from Wisconsin. That's Sean from Cleveland. Toby from, right, sorry, Lisa. We got Toby from Indianapolis and Patrice from Detroit. Now, anybody would like to
start selling T-shirts, man. Yeah, go ahead.
If I got anything I can say in the last 3 minutes, anybody, 3 minutes we got to go, get it out.
I would like to say that part of the problem is we have to change our community first.
Yes.
We're waiting for them to respect us. It's not going to happen. And this is Lolita from Nashville. What we have to do is we have to attack the media. Because the media is a big problem in the African-American community.
That's right.
We have to start reaching out to these entertainers and the messages that they send out. Because everybody watches television.
That's right.
And when they watch television, what they depict, what the media lets us see, is everything negative.
Uh-huh.
Until we change our community within ourselves, they're going to continue to think what they want to think. And that's because we allow that to happen.
Amen. I agree.
It's good to have a whole lot of money. It's good to be on television. It's good to be able to floss or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's not doing any good for our community because it shows that we are just a bunch of people who can't hold on to a dollar.
Mm-mm.
Who, you know, have you all heard of the advanced
financial
places?
Just want to be
things. Yeah, just want to be things. You know, the advanced financial places that are popping up everywhere?
Oh, yeah. People
you know,
bad pays.
We're the ones that made them rich.
That's right.
We
make everybody rich.
Come on now.
Right now, I'm talking about black folks. I'm talking about black folks, okay? And I'm talking about the money that we put in because we can't hold a bank account because we don't have savings accounts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
We have a lot to do. We have a lot of work to do within our community before before we can go and fault anybody else for what's not happening here. We can sit here and say all day, well, Obama should do this, Obama should do that. But you know what? He's half white.
It starts from within. Starts from home.
We can't
absolutely.
We can't expect them to accept us when we don't accept ourselves.
That's true.
Amen. Amen.
And we also need to change how we are raising our children and stop telling them that the only way you can do something if you do X, Y, and Z. No, the best way to do it is start instilling into our children how to do those things so that they're not repeating our generation. That is the key thing. Key number
I got 60 seconds. I'd like to thank Lolita. What's your friend, Lolita, from Nashville? Your friend's name that's with you from Wisconsin?
Denise.
And Denise, a friend from Denise, Wisconsin, Nikki from Chicago, Shauna from down from Mississippi, Don from Cleveland, Toby from Indianapolis, Patrice from Detroit, and I said Raina from Florida. I normally do a Sunday show. This is a special Trayvon Martin Zimmerman trial verdict. I'm normally on Monday through Thursday, but tomorrow I have French Poetry to get the hip-hop response and see what the reaction is. And probably Tuesday or Wednesday, I can see if I can get the fraternal Greek organization to see what do they plan on doing and see how they can start the revolution and change America. This is Jim Lee Underground Radio. I say good night, everybody. May your God be with you. And because we black.
Black.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
Against my hollow bone.